Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy. Your elders shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. You know that moment in the sermon when your mind starts to wander? You know, when, however unwillingly, that other thought just pops in for a second, profound or profane, and you suddenly find yourself somewhere else. Now, maybe that's never happened to you. Maybe you are one of those few who, through years of practice or sheer force of will, manages to stay connected, hanging on every single word in the homiletical exchange. But that's not most of us, not even the preacher. No, there are those moments, if we're honest, when, for whatever reason, our mind just sort of steps away. It happens to the best of us. And the thing is, it can happen so quickly. We catch something in the stained glass window. We remember something we forgot to add to our grocery list. We recall a conversation from last night, that twitch in our eye or pain in our side or weird feeling that we had yesterday comes back, or we notice that really interesting speck of dust on the shirt of the person just in front of us, and suddenly we are somewhere else entirely. Still here, and yet also not. Here in body, if not in spirit. Our eyes are open, most of us. But what we see is not just what's in front of us. Maybe some of us are already on that journey this morning. If so, God bless your travels, or welcome back, as the case may be. But for those select few who are still with me, at least for the moment, consider just for a second the gift that that inward journey provides. Because at its best, that inward journey, that soul sojourn that we are able to take, whether it's in the sermon moment or not, provides us not just with a bulwark to boredom, but also a chance to dream, to see not just what is in front of us, but what could be in this world. And if we want this world to be what it could be, and as people of faith we do, if we want the world to be more just, more equitable, more caring, more loving, if we want the world to be different than it is right now, better than it is right now, then it is going to take people of faith willing to dream. Fortunately for us, we come from a long line of dreamers. We remembered one just a couple of weeks ago as we celebrated the 60th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr. standing on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and sharing his dream, a dream that unfortunately has still yet to be realized, but thank God he shared it, because in so doing, he changed the world. But he wasn't the first. The truth is, dreaming has been a part of our faith from the beginning. Like the very beginning, it's wrapped up in those founding myths of our faith. We hear one today at the beginning of this series on dreaming. Today, we hear the story of perhaps the most famous dream in all of Scripture. There are other contenders, of course. The man who dreamed that a tent was knocked over by a falling cake, great one. Or Pharaoh dreaming of the thin cows and the fat cows. Or Peter dreaming of the sheet and the unclean animals. All of those are great, but it is hard to argue that Jacob's dream about a ladder, or as is translated in our passage today, stairway, does not occupy the top rung. And maybe by understanding something about his dream, we can understand something about our own. Though, as with any dream, context matters. After all, Jacob didn't just dream out of nowhere. At least in the story, he was at a particular moment, at a particular time, just like us. Maybe you know where he was at this time. He had yet to meet Rachel. That is, he had yet to father 12 sons and one daughter. He had yet to change his name to Israel. That is, he could see some of who God was calling him to be, but he wasn't quite there yet. He was somewhere on that journey. Join the club. Only Jacob had quite a ways to go. You see, when we encounter Jacob today, he's not all that great of a guy. We have just seen him swindle his twin brother Esau out of both his birthright and his father's blessing. That is, when we encounter Jacob today, he is self-centered and egotistical and, frankly, kind of a jerk. And yet, by God's grace, even jerks dream. That seems hopeful for our world. At this moment on the journey, Jacob has stopped somewhere out in the desert, and the sun has set, and he has no place to go, and so he lays down on the ground with only a rock for his pillow. Not my first choice, but we understand. And dreams. Not a daydream like happens during a sermon, but a night dream or sleep dream, which can also happen in a sermon, but you take the point. That is, his eyes were closed, and yet as his lids closed, his eyes were somehow open. That is the power of a dream. He dreamt that he saw a stairway stretching from earth up into the heavens and angels ascending and descending on it. And in the dream, he somehow knows that God is standing right next to him and saying to him all of this land would be his, promising that his children would be cared for, and perhaps most importantly, promising that wherever Jacob went from that moment on, God would be there. As dreams go, not such a bad one. Our sense of injustice chafes a little bit at the idea that this bona fide jerk gets this promise from God. But that is the nature of grace, isn't it? The beauty and the scandal of it is that it is for all, the best among us and the worst. And as Rachel reminded us in her sermon last week about Moses, God doesn't always choose those who are well-equipped and ready and almost perfectly set to step out. No, God chooses who God wants, which is sort of what we like about God. Sort of what we like about these founding myths of our faith, because they almost always involve imperfect people like us, like you, like me, like us. But what do we make of the imagery of the dream itself? What do we make of a stairway to heaven besides a song? See, typically in the Hebrew Bible, when heaven is mentioned, it's almost always referencing the sky, that is, that which is above. For the ancient people, they believed that was the realm of God, and it was distinct, separate, apart from the realm of people, which is here on earth. And yet Jacob dreams about a ladder or a stairway, a literal connection between the realm of people and the realm of God. What does that mean? And while the gift of a dream is that it's open for interpretation, how about we interpret it? Here's one idea, one of thousand possible possibilities that are out there for this particular dream, maybe somewhere deep down, Jacob understood that how he was living was off. That who he was not exactly who God was calling him to be. That though he had gained some things, his brother's birthright, his father's blessing, it had come at a cost, separating him from his brother and his family, and leaving him, at least for the moment, out in the middle of the desert with nothing but a rock for his pillow. Maybe he understood that something needed to change, but he was feeling a little stuck. So he dreamed of a ladder, a stairway to connect him to the world as it could be, not just the world as it is. He dreamt of some way of connecting himself to that which has typically been off realm to people, that is, the realm of God. He found a way to, in his mind's eye, in his heart's eye, in his soul, to try and understand a way to connect. A reminder that he was not stuck, and maybe it was that promise of God standing next to him, that God would be with him no matter where he went from there, regardless of whatever step he took towards that ladder, towards that stairway or not, that God would still be there, that finally freed him to make a change. We know that feeling, don't we? Maybe some of us this morning are also feeling a little stuck, looking around our lives and recognizing that something needs to change, that where we are is not where we long to be, but we're feeling, for better or worse, a little stuck. Well, the promise of the gospel, friends, is that there's always a way. A step we can take, a move we can make towards life. Because the truth is, the same promise that God makes to Jacob, God makes to us. We call it grace, the promise that there is nothing we can do or say to lose the love of God. Do you hear? There's nothing we can do or say to lose the love of God. Let me just say that one more time. There is nothing we can do or say to lose the love of God made known in Jesus Christ. It is for freedom that Christ sets us free. Because once we understand that in here, once we know that no matter where we go, God is already there, wherever we go outside, wherever we go inside, God is there, then it frees us to change, to dream, to try something new in our lives. It helps us get unstuck from wherever we are. Now, maybe this dream that Jacob had was just indigestion. Maybe that mess of pottage wasn't sitting so well in his stomach. We've all been there. But the truth is, in the end, the difference between a dream that fades away and one that changes the world is in our willingness to embrace it, to share it. So, friends, what do you dream? Maybe this sermon has given you the opportunity to start to think about it. What do you dream about? For 203 years as a congregation, we have dreamed together, always paying attention to the moment in which we find ourselves, bound to the context in which we find ourselves, but we have dreamed and we have watched those dreams become a reality. We've even done it recently. Maybe you remember. After all, it was your dreams that helped us understand our mission as disciples of Jesus Christ to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, and repeat. It was your dreams that helped us understand our vision to do more good in this world, in this community, in this church. It was your dreams that clarified our values as a congregation of being open to all, of worshiping together, of being bound to community, of outreach, of hospitality, of stewardship, of generosity, of discipleship. It was your dreams that help bring the Community Outreach Center to life. More on that in 2 weeks. But the world has changed since the last time we formally dreamed together as a congregation. Maybe you've noticed. Look, the pandemic changed so much about our lives, but it also changed the church, not just our church, the church, capital C. Maybe you've read the reports over the summer about fewer and fewer people identifying as people of faith, about the death of the American church, about how many people have chosen, when they had the chance, as COVID reminded them they did, to just step away. And some of the time, they're just not missing anything. Maybe you read the story about the number one thing people reported when they were asked to offer a trait of the church being anti-gay. Are you kidding me? We, of course, know that love is love, that God is there, that God is open to all, whether we are young, old, black, white, gay, straight, male, female, rich, poor, broken, whole, Republican, Democrat, trans, cis, or everything beyond and between. We know that God is there, but that is not the message that is out there. And frankly, my dream is that Asbury First can lead the way in sharing a new kind of vision for the world about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in this world, that we can be a place that shows people something different in the world. That's my dream. What's yours? We want to hear what your dreams are as a congregation. Jesus also happened to mention heaven a few times. Though contrary to popular belief, he didn't mention it in the context of what happens when we die. No, he spoke about it using the imagery, the metaphor of a kingdom, that is a realm that is possible when we live right here, right now. The kingdom of heaven is that vision for a world in which we all finally and fully live as Christ commanded, in which we love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so long as there is a distance between that reality and our present one, then we have work to do. Then we are called to continue to dream on. Jacob dreamed of a ladder. What will we dream of? What way will we connect the world that is to the world that could be? What will we do? That is our task this fall as a congregation. You'll see when you leave in the those who are here in the nave, when you leave today in the gathering center, there is a board up and there are little cloud pieces of paper. Write down your dream and put it up on the board. It could be silly, it could be serious, it could be anything in between. We want to hear from you. Your dreams matter. Maybe this sermon has given you the opportunity to dream. But if you are online, we want to hear your dream as well. We have a board set up, a virtual board, where you can also share your dreams and hear the other dreams of people who are watching right now online as well. We have one that's going up in the Community Outreach Center. We'll have one in the Children's Ministry area. And we will find other ways, both formally and informally, to listen to your dreams this fall. Who are we right now? And who is God calling us to be? Dreaming affords us the opportunity to see the world not just as it is, but as it could be. Look around the church. Look around the city. Look around this state. Look around this country. Look around this world. What do you dream would happen? Because make no mistake, friends, if we want to get to the world as it could be, and we do, if we want to get to a more just, a more equitable, a more caring, a more loving world, then it will take people who are willing to dream. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your children shall prophesy, your elders shall dream dreams, and your youth shall see visions. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.